Okay, we're going to begin in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach God's word. I'd like to thank you guys for being here and your faithfulness through your attendance. Leviticus chapter 11. We'll be in verse 41. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 41. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 41, it says, "And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination, it shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." I've entitled this message, "A World Cannot Perceive Change Until Distinction Is Made." It cannot perceive change until distinction is made. With this subtitle, "We are called to be different, so why aren't we acting like it?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, please be with my nerves and allow me to communicate your word effectively to your people. Lord, would you please help Smiles and I as he gives the message, and please help us safety as we travel back. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So looking at history, looking at this congregation, I believe I'd be safe to assume that we have one thing in common. We all have one thing in common, and that is we all have birthdays, right? You are here, therefore you have a birthday. And what do we normally have for that birthday? We have a birthday cake that's associated with a birthday. We have a birthday cake. Everybody loves birthday cakes. Yeah, so you're standing there, you got your birthday cake in your hands, you got the candles, everyone's singing happy birthday. And in that moment, you have to do what before you blow out the candles? You have to make a wish. So, and in that small moment where you have to make a wish, there is a small moment in time that you could use to actually change something in your life. For example, before you blow out the candles, I wish I could be better at, I wish I had this in my life, I wish I could change this in my life. Because if it were not for your birthday, and if we're not for the birthday cake, you would have never would have thought to wish for or to think of, I need to change something in my life, or I want this in my life. Because of that, you were put in a position to think of about what you don't have and what you have. The same is true for the Israelites in this passage. If they were never supposed to be a set-apart nation, how else were other surrounding nations, how else were the surrounding nations supposed to have a chance to perceive change and make a difference and a distinction between themselves and the Israelites, so that they may have an opportunity to see that distinction and turn to God? So there's this idea throughout the Israelites' life to be set apart from other nations in the book of Leviticus. We know the book of Leviticus. It's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the first books of Moses, right? And the book primarily exists giving instructions by God to Moses and to the Israelites. Right, we think of the Ten Commandments and the other laws and the regulations that is in Leviticus. And the Israelites had the fellowship with God through sacrifice and obedience, which shows the holiness of God. And during the life of Moses, the Israelites were in bondage. They were in slavery to Egypt. God takes them out of slavery from Egypt into the wilderness wanderings for 40 years. They're in the wilderness wanderings for 40 years. And after 40 years, they go to the land of Canaan, the promised land. And there they build the temple, and they're worshiping God. But then the Syrians and the Babylonians conquer them. But there is a remnant that stays there, the Israelites, the Jewish people, and God still has a future plan for Israel, and we know that there's a remnant there, and that they would eventually rebuild the temple, and they would eventually serve God. And we know that God still has a future plan for Israel. But throughout the journey, God provided with various laws and commandments to guide with their lives and establish their identity as God's chosen people. There's a quote that's often said that it took God a night, a day, to take the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. You know, the Israelites should not defile themselves, and they should be sanctified because the commandment of God declaring, "Ye shall be holy, for I am holy." You know, in this book, Leviticus, we see the dietary laws. And the dietary laws were supposed to distinguish the Israelites as God's chosen people, setting them apart from the other nations. Exodus 19, 5 through 6 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." The Israel is called to be a holy nation if they what? If they obey God's voice and keep his commandments. The Israelites, when they did this, the Israelites reinforced their identity in Christ if they obeyed him. And just as the dietary laws distinguish the Israelites as God's chosen people to set them apart from the other nations, we should strive to live lives that reflect our identity in God as God's chosen people, setting us apart from others. You know, just like the Israelites had a unique status of a holy nation, don't we have the same? Our heritage of our founding fathers had this nation on Christian morals. Where'd they find those? From the Bible. They used the Bible, and they had these distinctions, and they obeyed them. And they reinforced their identity in God when they obeyed his word. Not only do we see the dietary laws, but we also see the covenantal relationship. I didn't know what this meant. So what is a covenantal relationship? It is a deep, profound spiritual bond between two parties, God and the Israelites. Not specifically them, but that's God and the Israelites. You can put any other two parties in there. God and the Israelites. The dietary laws were a manifestation of this covenant, symbolizing the Israel's commitment to God's authority and holiness. What does that mean? By obeying these laws, the Israelites demonstrated allegiance to God. Their obedience was a key aspect in their identity as God's chosen people, and it was essential for maintaining their covenantal relationship with him. You know, again, just like the dietary laws and the manifestation of the covenant between God and the Israelites, our obedience to God's command is a manifestation of our covenantal relationship with God. You know, we must follow in obedience and maintaining our relationship with God. You know, by obeying God and his word and what it says us to do, tells us to do. And if we're not doing that, if we're not obeying him, what does that tell to whom our allegiance is to? You know, we must actively continue obeying God and what his word tells us to do in every aspect of our life. You know, it's been said, you may be the only Bible someone will ever read. You know, are we in the book, reading it, studying it, applying it to our life? Just as obedience was vital for the Israelites in maintaining their covenantal relationship with God, we should do the same as well. And not only do we see the covenantal relationship, but we see worship practices. You know, alongside the dietary laws, the covenantal relationship, the Israelites' commitment to holiness was also expressed through their worship practices. You know, when they were building a temple, right, and it was demolished by the Babylonians and the Assyrians, right, there was that remnant there, and they decided to rebuild the temple. And they had the temple, they had the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrificial system that served as a visual reminder that their dedication to God, that reminder of their dedication to God and their separation from worldly practices, right? They needed to be separated from those worldly practices. You know, just as the Israelites expressed their commitment to holiness through their worship practices, we as well must prioritize the commitment to holiness in our practices. You know, we must ask the question, how is our worship? You know, is our worship reflecting our dedication to God? You know, over time we have a tendency to fall, and we have a tendency to fall into other ways of worship rather than putting worship towards God. Right? How often do we put glory, we shift the glory from God to ourselves? You know, that's humanism, right? We put man as the absolute authority of life, and that's where we are today. It's all about man's opinion and what man says, not about God. We've gotten this word out. And once you do that, you have no absolute authority, right? That's why the world is the way that it is, because they're getting rid of the word of God, which is the absolute authority. And it's just your opinion. What do you want to make up? Well, I don't care about this, what this says. I just care about what I say. You know, we have a tendency to fall. So we must ask the question, how are we doing our worship? You know, not only do we see the works and practices, but we see cultural separation. You know, alongside the dietary laws, the covenantal relationship, the worship practices, Israelites' commitment to holiness is also expressed with the way they associated themselves with the culture. God's instruction regarding cultural separation set the Israelites apart from the surrounding nations. You know, their refusal to engage in idol worship or adopt pagan customs would reinforce their identity as God's chosen people. You know, we think of culture. What is culture? Like, you go to somewhere else, and the group of people, they act different. That's culture. You go to a Christian school, they have a different culture, right? Every different clique has its own different culture. And we must prioritize cultural separation in our life. You know, there are so many different numbers of cultural practices and customs that we should not partake of. You know, if we do that, if we act just like the world, how else would the lost and others be able to see a difference in us when we act the same? You know, just like the Israelites are to refuse idol worship or adopting pagan customs, we as Christians should refuse the influence of idolatry and paganism in our culture. Well, we don't really have that. Well, anything you put over God is an idol, right? And you cannot reach culture by culture. Now, you cannot reach the world by adopting the world's practices and philosophies to reach the world. That makes no sense, right? You cannot reach culture by culture. Only God's word can reach culture. Only God's word can go into a life and change it. You know, if we compromise our beliefs for the sake of cultural acceptance, how will others tell a difference in the way we act with the way they act? You know, this is why we must be in the Bible as much as possible. You know, because we tend to fall as Christians. That's why we need to be in the Word. We cannot affect the world if we are not in the Word of God. You cannot reach culture with culture. And as humans, we have a tendency to take on the world's philosophies and practices over time. But in this book, Leviticus, it shows us God's law and how we should be separate from the law, from the world. You know, we should not defile ourselves and with the world's philosophies and practices, because the commandment of God declaring, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." You know, in this passage for us today, we need to understand God's law and what it had for the Israelites back then to be set apart, and how we can apply today in our lives to be set apart. You know, we are called to be different, so why aren't we acting like it? You know, biblical separation is so important, because how are the lost and others supposed to see any difference in our life with their life? You know, if we are living the same, we have lost that influence on them for them to be different. I'm gonna say, if we live the same, we have lost the influence on them for them to be different. You know, if they don't see that we are different, they are not going to change whatsoever. If they do not see that we are different, they are not going to have the opportunity to even perceive that they are in need of change. You know, when it comes to your personal life or where you act at work, you know, and the off chance someone says, "Hey, do you smoke? Hey, do you drink? Hey, why don't you cuss? Hey, what are you doing on Sunday? Why are you going to church?" You know, what are you going to say to them? Are you going to give them like an easy answer out and just go with it? Are you going to avoid confrontation? Are you going to be set apart, holy, and stand for biblical separation? they need to see a distinction. Are you going to be that reason they don't see it? You know, if only when someone sees, It is only when someone sees that they are in need of some change that they will have an opportunity to change. And that does not mean they will change. They just have an opportunity to change. But if they never have that influence, that distinction between you and them, the chances of them having that opportunity to perceive change is smaller than what it could because that there is no distinction between them. That is why biblical separation is so important in our life, because we are called to be different and act different so that the world surrounding us may see God through us and that they may seek God for salvation, that they may change, they may turn their ways to God. You know, just like the cake on your birthday. If the cake were not there, if it wasn't for the cake and the candles and everyone singing happy birthday, there would have never been there would never been that opportunity that you would have thought to, I need something to change in my life. And if it weren't for the Israelites, if they were not supposed to be a set apart nation, how else were the other surrounding nations supposed to even perceive change or a distinction? How else were they supposed to perceive a distinction between them and the Israelites so that they may look to God in that and so that they might change? And then when it comes to our life, we need to be different and we need to be holy and separate so that others in their life, they might see God through us. Not that we would get the glory, but God will get the glory and that they might turn to God through us. Because if we act the same, that's just culture with culture. If we act the same, they're not going to know there's a difference. If we are different and we act like God, and that's the goal, we are trying to be like Christ every day in our life. If we are trying to be more like Christ, they're going to see a difference in our life and they're going to have that distinction and they are going to perceive that something is different and they are going to have an opportunity to change. I'm just as guilty as this. You know, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm nobody special. I'm a sinner just like you. You know how many sermons I've listened to over the years and not changed a single thing about my life? You know how many times I've set my allegiance to things on this world rather than focusing on God? You know, God uses sinners like myself to give out God's word so that they might see him for salvation. So are we living a separate and holy life? You know, if we are, that's good. That's where we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be more like Christ in everything we do. But if we're not, how else are the lost supposed to perceive change? Not only to perceive change, but have the opportunity to perceive change. How else are others in the lost supposed to perceive, not only perceive change, but to have a chance to even perceive the chance to change, right? If we are acting like the lost and we are acting like the world, there is no difference between the two. And so we need to be separate. We need to be holy so that they might see God through us and so they might reach him for salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. And Lord, please help us. We tend to fall as Christians. Lord, please help us to look to you and look to you for sufficiency, Lord, because we fall as Christians. And you're the only thing that will keep us through tough times, Lord. Please help us to keep our trust in you. And just say amen.